Amen. Appreciate that special, both of those specials this morning. What a blessing for people to use the talents God's given them for His glory. Please open your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 20 this morning. Acts chapter 20, we'll also spend some time in Philippians chapter 3. We've been studying about trusting and obeying, the importance of trusting in God, believing in His Word, and this Bible this morning that we're looking into is the very Word of God, and you can trust every word of it. It's not just a book that contains the Word of God, it is the Word of God, and you don't need to just trust a little bit of it, you need to trust it all the way. But then when we believe the Bible, we believe it is God's Word, then that means we've got to respond to it in the right way, and that's by obedience. If it is, in fact, the Word of God, and I believe that, then I've got to do what it says. Our beliefs determine our behavior. And if I believe that this book is the Word of God, then it's going to affect the way that I live my life. So it's important for us to obey. We understand that it's detrimental to our lives and the lives of those around us when we're not obedient to the Word of God. You may think that your decisions don't affect anybody else, but you're wrong. The devil wants you to think that you can do whatever you want to and it's not going to hurt anybody but you, but that's just a lie. When I sin against God, it affects me certainly, but it also affects my wife and my children and this church and all of my family. And friend, you cannot live outside of the will of God without having a detrimental impact on everyone around you. It's important to understand that the decisions you make affect everyone. And when there's sin in my heart, then there's sin in the camp. And it'll cause the church to be unable to win victories for Christ if I regard iniquity in my heart. So we've got to be quick to repent and forsake of our sins and be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And today I want to talk to you about the fact that I don't want to just be faithful to Jesus for a little while. I want to be faithful to the end. Amen. I don't want to run well at the beginning only to fall short of the goal. I want to win this race for Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're going to run in a race, then you run to win. I know that's probably not politically correct in our world today where everybody gets the prize, but in reality, that's not the way it works. You run to win. Now, you need to understand something, that Christ is the prize, that Christ's likeness is the prize, to be found faithful is the goal. So it's not we're competing against each other and I'm trying to beat you, I'm just trying to be faithful. That's my goal, is to be found faithful in the end. We want to learn today how to be faithful, how to obey, and how to trust God all the way up to the very end. If you're able, let's stand together. We're going to read verse 24, Acts 20, verse 24. Now you remember the Apostle Paul had spent 3 years in Ephesus and all of his journeyings, he's gone back and forth, but he's on his way to Jerusalem. He knows that he's going to face persecution there, and so he calls for the elders, the pastors from Ephesus, to meet him at Miletus, and he kind of gives them a final charge. And in the midst of that that meeting with those pastors, those elders there, he says in verse 24, he says, listen, I know bad things are coming. The Spirit of God has showed me that I'm going to find bonds and imprisonment when I go to Jerusalem. But look at what he says in verse 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You see, Paul, when he looked at all the things that he was facing, he said, listen, they're not moving me from the course God has put me on because my life isn't precious to me. I'm willing to give up my life for Jesus Christ. And the difference between when Paul said it and when Peter said it was Paul said it in the Spirit. He said it in faith in the Spirit of God to help him to be faithful to the end. He wasn't boasting of himself. I'll die for Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what he would do. And listen, he said, so that I can finish my course with joy. God had a plan, a course, a path for his life, all the way to the finish line, to death. And friends, Jesus Christ has a plan for your life all the way till death or till the rapture, whichever comes first. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, for the opportunity to come and to worship you. Lord God, we thank you for your word. the truth. And I pray you'd help us to trust in it and to obey it day by day. Lord, help me to preach today by the power of your Spirit, nothing without you. And I pray that your Spirit would move in our hearts. I pray, Lord, for those who are saved and baptized, serving in the church, that we would be faithful to the end. Lord, I pray for those today who are not even on the course. They've never been born again. I pray today they would repent and put their faith in Christ, that they would get on that straight and narrow path that leads to life everlasting. Lord, I pray that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to salvation today. I pray for the saved to be baptized and serve you in the church. And I pray you'd help all of us to be faithful to the end, to finish our course with joy. Lord, we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The Apostle Paul had a desire to finish his course with joy. You know, I want you to understand that joy has nothing to do with your circumstances. Paul, between his beginning his race when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus and the day that Rome took his head, Nero would have him beheaded. In between that, Paul faced all kinds of trouble, all kinds of terrible circumstances happened in his life, but that wasn't, he was outside of God's will. It was part of God's plan. Listen, he had to go through the imprisonments and the beatings and the stonings, and all that he went through was part of what God wanted him. Listen, just because you're on the course that God has for your life doesn't mean you're not going to have trouble. If that's the message you'd like to hear, you could just stay home and turn on the television and learn about how to have your best life now. But I want you to understand today that God's got something far better for you than your best life now. He has eternity for you. He has the glories of heaven for you, and he has laying up rewards to the glory of Jesus Christ for you if you'll be faithful to him, no matter what your circumstances are. So how is it? He said, I want to finish my course with joy, and I don't want to give away the end, but I think most of you understand that he could say at the end that he accomplished that. But how did he do that? So let's look to Philippians chapter 3, if you would, please. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 7 through 14. And I want you to look with me today and get some tools, if you will, some equipment for us to have to help us to finish well. As you're finding Philippians 3 and verse 7, I've got a question for you. When's your race going to be over? Do you know? You say, well, when I die or when Jesus comes. Well, when's that going to happen? You see, none of us know the day or the hour of the Lord's return, and we certainly don't know when we're going to die. And I want you to understand today that what we've got to do is be faithful today. If you want to finish well, be faithful today. Do you get that? If I want to finish well, then I've got to be faithful today. And if tomorrow comes, then I need to be faithful today. And if tomorrow comes, then I need to be faithful that day. See, to finish well, we've just got to be found faithful when he comes. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Listen, you're not going to be made right with God through the things that you do. You'll be made right with God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what Paul said is, I don't want to go back to trying to do it on my own. I don't want to go back to what the law can do for me. I can do right by the law, and there's a righteousness there, but that's self-righteousness, and I'm not interested in self-righteousness. I'm interested in Christ's righteousness. And I don't get that by keeping the law. I get that by being faithful to Jesus. Do you see it? He had a desire. Friend, if you want to finish well, you need to have a desire to finish well. Do you care how you live your life? Do you care what God thinks about how you live your life? Do you have a desire to stand before the Lord and to have him say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant? I mean, do you want to hear that one day? See, I know some of you in your heart, you don't think that's even possible. You're so down on yourself and who you are and how you live and how you fall short and how you keep messing up that you've got it in your mind that that's not even a possibility. You're just going to be glad to get there and get your little shack in the corner of glory. And you know that you'll never be have Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want to tell you something, friend. That's something all of us could hear one day. I think it's kind of a tricky situation because I'm afraid most of the people who think they're going to hear it probably won't. You know, man, I'm doing good. Some people have chronic shoulder pain because they're always patting themselves on the back. Listen, if you think you're going to hear that one day, you probably won't. Amen. But I think some of the people who think they won't likely will. Was that confusing? I'm saying that you've got a little bit of humility to understand that I know I don't measure up, but can I remind you, Paul said, I want to be found with the righteousness that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. It's not you, friend, it's Him. It's Him. But what I want you to see today, friends, is do you have a desire? Do you want to finish well? Do you want to be found faithful? Do you want to stay on the path that God set you on? Do you want to run the race that God set before you? Do you want to finish the course that He's called for you to run? Notice Paul said, I want to finish my course with joy. Your course isn't Paul's course. My course isn't your course. Listen, we've all got our own race to run. God's will for my life is not God's will for your life. And what we've got to understand is God has a course. Paul said, my course. He had a course God laid out for him, and he said, I want to run that race. I want to stay on that path. And do you have that desire today? Is it in your heart? Listen, it takes desire to win races. It takes desire to win fights. It takes desire to be successful. And so many times Paul gives us this analogy of running races and wrestling and fighting fights and being a soldier. Listen, you don't win at anything in life without having a desire. Amen. It's football season. Can I get an amen? No. One of the things that always impresses me most in watching football, and I don't care if it's high school or college or the NFL, I see men and boys who have desire. And listen, I want to tell you that a lot of games are won not by which team's better or even which team has a better coach. So a lot of games are won by who has more desire. Who has more heart. And I'm going to tell you where that scene is. When somebody gets knocked down, they get back up again. I mean, I've watched some amazing, I like to watch boxing. I don't know if that's a sin or not, but I do. I'll confess to you today, if that's bad, then I'll just put it out there. I was watching a fight. It was back in 1992. It was a heavyweight fight. And these guys just kept knocking each other out. I don't even know. I mean, if I got hit one time by one of those guys, I'd be in the hospital for 3 months. But I watched these guys, and I can't remember how many times in total they knocked each other down. I think about 6 or 7 times apiece. But they would not quit. They just kept getting up and kept fighting. Now, I just got to go ahead and tell you, I like to watch boxing. I have no desire to get my face pounded in. I don't want any of that. I'm glad for them to do it. I'm glad they've got the heart for it. But I'm going to tell you right now, I got no desire for that. But they have a great desire in their heart. There's something, I promise you, that's deep down in their heart when they get knocked down that says, I got to get up, I got to get up, I got to get up, I can't quit. And what's that for? Most of those guys are never going to win a heavyweight championship. Most of those guys are never going to have a world championship belt, and they still keep getting up. I want to ask you a question. If these men are willing to bleed and to be broken and to have brain injuries, for what? How much more should we desire to win for Jesus? How much more should we desire to get back up? I'm astounded at how little it takes for Christians to quit today. Listen, I understand every time I stand in this pulpit, I run the risk of saying something that hurts your feelings and you quit church. Do you know that? That I come in here with a conscious understanding that I'm going to say things that some of you are going to find offensive and that you may leave church over something I say from this pulpit. Listen, people have left church because somebody gave them a dirty look. Let me help you out. Brother Mike can't see you across the room. He's out there right now. But listen, he's not giving you a dirty look. He's not even sure who you are. I want you to understand that it takes very little because we don't have a desire. And let me help you out. You don't need to come to church for your family primarily. You don't need to come to church for the preacher. Lord help. If you come to Calvary because of the preacher, you might as well go home now because you're not going to stick around very long. You need to come to church for Jesus Christ. You need to read your Bible every day, not because you feel guilty if you don't, but because you love Jesus. You need to go tell others about Christ, not so that you get this warm feeling like I did this great thing by giving someone a gospel tract, but you ought to do that because you love Jesus. And you want to live for His kingdom. You want to be found faithful. Dear friend, please hear me today. We need to have a desire to finish well. If your heart's not in it, you're not going to last. Why is this such a big deal? How many of you, just real quick, have been in church for more than 10 years? Just raise your hand. I'll stop there because we could be here all day going. How many of you have been in church that long have seen a lot of people leave? We did our, Sister Phyllis put together the numbers for the local association meeting. Man, I rejoice in the associational year from this time, this year to this time last year, we baptized 25 people here at Calvary. I don't know if you realize that, but that's a big deal. Had several other additions, but 25 people became a part of Calvary by baptism, and I rejoice. But there have been other people who have slipped right out the doors too. I think about all the young people when I started in youth ministry, how many young people I saw make decisions for Christ and how many of them are gone. So I'm just telling you that your heart's got to be in it. You got to have a desire. Paul said, I want to finish my course with joy. I want to do well. I want to have joy in my soul when I see Jesus. I don't want to be hiding somewhere. Sewing fig leaves together. I don't want to be hiding somewhere when my Lord calls. I want to be found faithful. I want to have joy. And listen, you're not going to be sinless. None of us ever are. But you can be striving to be faithful. You can be in love with Jesus. You can be where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing. I have a desire. It needs to be a determination. A determination. Back in Philippians 3. We read verse 8, that I might win Christ. Verse 9 says, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. There's a determination in Paul's heart. He goes on and says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What's the one thing he does? You say he says a lot of things after that one thing. Well, the one thing he does is press toward the mark. He does that by forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before. You see, Paul not only had a desire, he had a determination. He had a determination. He was focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I want to be found in Him. I want to know Him. I want to know the power of His resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of His sufferings. He was focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 12, in verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. There was a determination in him because he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to know Jesus Christ. Why are you here today? Why are you here today? Did you even think about it? You know, most of us, I just go ahead and tell you, I don't think about it. I don't have to decide whether I'm coming to church or not. It's kind of automatic. Whether I was your pastor or not, it's automatic. It's just what I do. That may seem like a good thing, and it probably is to a degree, but not if we forget why. You here today because your wife will nag you to death if you don't come? You here today because your parents made you? Are you here today because you want to set a good example for your children? Are you here today because we live in Mulder, Oklahoma, in the buckle of the Bible Belt, and that's what good citizens do? They go to church on Sunday. I don't imagine there are very many people. I hear there are people who go to church for their business connections. You're probably not here for that. Just being real. Some people go to church for the entertainment, for the song service, for the worship, for the light and smoke show. Some people go for the preacher. You hear the preaching. Paul's focus was on Christ. He, like the psalmist, had a heart like King David that followed hard after Christ, wanted to know him and be known by him. We've got a determination, friends. We've got to focus on Christ. We've got to focus on the finish. He said, I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What was it? Well, it was getting to heaven, yeah. But friends, I want you to get this. He wanted to know Jesus, and you're not going to know Jesus any better than the moment you see Jesus. You understand this? That as long as we've got this carnal mind and this carnal body, we're going to be restricted on how well we can know him. But listen, when this flesh is gone, when this body is dead, when we are glorified and made like Christ, friends, we're going to see him face to face. You're going to know him in a perfect and absolute eternal way. That's what Paul was after. The mark for the prize of the high calling wasn't just heaven, streets of gold, and the crystal sea. No, it was Jesus. It was Christ. And he had a determination to finish well. He had a desire. He had a dedication. I want to tell you today that living for Jesus is not easy. Thank you. I appreciate that one other person knows that. Living for Jesus in the world today is not easy. Can somebody please amen that, even if you don't believe it? I mean, you're going to make me feel bad if you guys are all like, no, it's easy. I don't know what's wrong with you, preacher. Easiest thing in the world. What's your problem? I think living for Jesus in the world today is difficult, but I think it's always been difficult. I think doing God's will was hard even when there wasn't sin. Adam and Eve couldn't do it. Listen, friends, when we're faced with choices, it's difficult, and every day we're faced with choices. It takes dedication, hard work. The Bible uses terrible words like striving, laboring, working, fighting, contending. Terrible words. Some of you hate that word more than anything else. Work. But living for Jesus takes hard work. 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul said, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Man, what a statement. When Jesus Christ put his grace on me, he wasn't wasting it because I worked harder than anybody for Jesus. That's bold, isn't it? What a statement. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. It's the absolute truth. But listen, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Man, I worked harder than anybody, but it wasn't me. It was the grace of God working in me. It takes hard work. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Jude 3 says, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. Listen, we've got a fight to fight. We've got work to do. And it's not going to be easy. It's going to take some dedication. We need a desire, a determination, a dedication. And can I say, we need to die to self. We need to die to self. Back in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, he said, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Listen to me. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a wealthy man, an influential man, a powerful man. And he said, I gave it all up so that I could get a hold of Jesus. Can I just help you out today? You're not going to be able to hold on to everything in the world, everything in your old life, everything that you want to be, everything that you have, and grab a hold of Jesus. You're going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. You're going to have to die to self so that you can live for Christ. If you hold on to your life, if you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you'll lose your life for Christ's sake, you'll save your life. We ought to let go of everything. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings today because some of you have probably talked to the same guys I have, but I've heard some pastors in my life talk about what they could have done and what they could have been. But when they talk about it, it doesn't sound like Paul. It doesn't sound like I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I learned at the feet of Gamaliel, but that's nothing. That's but dung to me. I love that. See, that's another reason I love the King James Bible. That's a great word. It's but dung. And some of you people don't know what that is. You can look it up. That's what dictionaries are for. He said, it's all nothing to me. I was glad to let it go so I could get a hold of Christ. I can't know Jesus if I'm holding on to who I was, to what I had accomplished on my own. He was glad to let go of it. But I hear some men talk about how they were really great baseball players, how they had a chance to go pro, how they gave it all up. But they don't talk about it as though they were glad to give it up. There's almost a wistfulness like, oh, what might have been. I'll just go ahead and tell you, I'm a little skeptical of anybody that tells me they could have gone pro. Most people I know that could have did. Just saying. But even if that were true, who cares? You could have been a professional baseball player. Instead of giving your life to the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'd say you made a good choice. I think you'd be stepping down to do anything. If God's called you to serve him in his church, you ought to serve him in his church and glorify God. I'm not saying it's wrong to look back and think of what you gave up. That's a good thing if you can look at it with the right heart. I'm glad I gave that up. We've got to die to self. Colossians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Colossians 3, 4 and 5 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Listen, verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life. You see, when your life is in Christ, and Christ is your life, and He is your all in all, then everything else can die. Then it's easy to say, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Let your own ambitions die. Let the desires of your flesh die. Let the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh die. Let your grabbing for money and power and influence, let it die. Let the pleasing of your flesh die. Because Christ is your life. It takes a desire, determination, a dedication. It takes dying to self. And can I say it takes a dependence? It takes dependence. You can't do it on your own. Do you want to be found faithful? Do you want Jesus Christ to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Do you want to finish your course with joy? When you die, do you want to have a sense of excitement and joy to see Jesus, or do you want to be struck with fear because you haven't been living right? I mean, to me, that's not really a hard choice. And if you want to finish well, if you want to be found faithful, if you want to finish your course with joy, God never called you to do it on your own. You're not called to live for Christ alone. For one thing, we're supposed to do this together. We read the verses a while ago, with one heart, one mind, striving together. We're in this together. Man, that encourages me. I'm not alone. We're in this together. We band of brothers. And the fight that we're in is far more important as World War II was. The fight we're in is far more important. The battle we are in is far more important. The war that we are waging is far more important. And we're in this together. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Listen, what you do, God sees, and God will reward you for that, but we're working together. We work together. We knock on the door, we invite somebody, they show up, the Sunday school teacher teaches them, the Wednesday night teacher teaches them, I stand up here and preach, the van driver drives to pick them up, the van driver drives to take them home, we witness to them, we pray for them, we work with them, we teach them, we give them the gospel, we're one. We're doing this together. What does he go on to say in verse 9? For we are laborers together. Laborers together. But not only is there a dependence on each other, because he goes on to say we are laborers together with God. We work together, God working with us and through us. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Colossians 1:29, Paul said, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Praise God, we're not on our own. We get to work together, but more importantly, infinitely more importantly, we have Christ working in us and through us. We have the Spirit of God working in us and through us. We have the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit working with us. Galatians 2:20 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I want to finish well. It takes a desire. It takes a determination, it takes dedication, it takes dying to self, and it takes dependence. Would you look at 2 Timothy chapter 4? 2 Timothy chapter 4. Find verse 6. In Acts 20, 24, Paul said, I want to finish my course with joy. It was years later, and through many journeyings, many troubles and trials, before he would write the second letter to Timothy. He says in verse 6, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. But I want you to go on a little bit more. Verse 9 says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Paul could say he came to the end of his life. He finished his course with joy. He fought the fight. He finished the course. He kept the faith. But he says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now, I don't know your heart, and I don't know the end of your days. You don't know my heart. You don't know the end of my days. Paul had the Holy Spirit of God revealing these truths. But listen to me. There are some here that are not going to finish well. Would to God that weren't true. But listen to me. There's no doubt some in this room that will not finish well. They'll be like Demas. They're going to get their eyes off Jesus. They're going to lose their desire and their determination, their dedication. They won't be willing to die to self and sacrifice some things. They'll get their eyes out there on the world, and they'll depart from the faith. Do you hear me? Is that going to be you? Or will you be able to come to the end and say, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. This Wednesday marked the 18th anniversary of 9/11. I read a lot of articles, I watched a lot of video, I listened to a lot of audio. I don't know if any of you did any of that, but I think all of you adults ought to. Because it's a good reminder. Wednesday night we talked just a little bit about how you go back to Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1941, and how that changed our nation, a day that lived in infamy. Well, when I look back to that, that was a long time ago, and the impact it had on men like Brother Adams is the same kind of impact that 9/11 had on me and my generation. And it's astounding to think about people who lived through both of those. Listen to me. When I listen to a lot of those audio clips from Flight 93, I listen to people in the background, you listen to people calling their families, the voicemails that were left. Just please listen to me. There were people you could hear the terror in their voice. You could hear them crying out to God and saying, we're all going to die. They were absolutely panicked, absolutely fear-stricken. There was no hope in them at all. And I just wonder if it didn't have more to do, not with the fact they're about to die, but where they were going to spend eternity. Listen, there are no atheists, they say, in foxholes. There are no atheists, they say, in severe turbulence. When you're faced with death, reality comes out. But I want you to hear me. There were others that I listened to when they called their family. They had no panic. They had no fear. They had a calm assurance as they very calmly said, listen, honey, I love you. The flight that I'm on has been hijacked, and it doesn't look good. But I want you to know that I love you, and I love the kids, and I want you to go on and live a good life and be happy. I can't help but believe that only a person with Christ in their heart could have that calm assurance in the face of certain death. Are you running the race for Jesus? I mean, are you on the course? Have you been born again? If the plane's going down today, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? If you're not, you could be. If you'd repent and trust Jesus, put your faith in Christ alone, cry out to Him in prayer, ask Him to forgive you, ask Jesus to be your Savior, He'll give you eternal life. Maybe you're not on a hijacked plane today, friend, but death is coming for you just as sure as it did for everyone on Flight 93. If you are running the race, do you have a desire to be found faithful? Well, then be faithful today. Can I share with you one more thing while our musicians come? They're going to come get ready for a verse of invitation. Listen, please. John 19:17. The Bible says, "And He," Jesus, "bearing His cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull," which is called in the Hebrew, Golgotha. In Luke 23:26, the Word of God says, "And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus." I want to remind you today that before Jesus ever even got to Calvary, he suffered unimaginably. They had already beat him. They had already spit in his face. They had already ripped the beard from his face. They had already scourged him with that cat of nine tails. Part of the punishment of crucifixion was that you carried your own cross, and they started that way. And the Bible doesn't give us any detail, but for some reason, the Roman soldiers grabbed Simon out of the crowd and made him help Jesus carry his cross. Jesus Christ, as the Son of Man, was physically incapable of carrying the cross all the way to Golgotha. Hear me, but he did not quit. A just man, a good man, falls seven times and he rises up again. I believe Jesus fell that day. I believe he fell under the weight of that wooden cross, and I believe that the soldiers grabbed somebody, and I don't believe that he carried it all, Simon carried it all. I believe he carried part of it with Jesus. But Jesus would go all the way to the end. He would finish. And when he died on the cross for your sins, he said, "It is finished." He was faithful to the end. And by the grace of God, friends, we can be faithful to the end. Let's stand together this morning. The Holy Spirit of God's convicting your heart. You're not 100% sure you're saved and on your way to heaven. You can repent and trust Jesus today. If you're saved, but you've not been being faithful, you've gotten off course, you've sat down on the sidelines, or whatever the case may be, in your heart today, you know, I need to start living for Jesus. I need to be more faithful. If He's convicting your heart, would you humble yourself today? You need to be saved. You need to be baptized. Whatever decision you need to make for Jesus, you come right now while we sing.